LeBron back in town tonight. We'll talk more about that coming up at around 9:20 because something we failed to mention in a segment we talked about it earlier today. Find the 7 o'clock hour, 92.3thefan.com. So I saw a tweet yesterday, or actually this morning, I beg your pardon, and it was the guy I follow who's one of the scouts at one of the major, Blustro and things like that. There's Catapult. And I follow him, and he had mentioned how there's maybe a result of overvaluing a position, quarterback being that position, on draft day. Sam Block had put out a quote or tweet that said, Anthony Richardson is 22, benched. Bryce Young is 23, benched. Trey Lance is 24, benched. Justin Fields, Will Levis, Zach Wilson, 25, benched. Mac Jones, Kenny Pickett, 26, benched. The NFL has a QB development problem. To which somebody did respond to that and mentioned some of the young guys who are playing in the NFL and doing very well in the NFL. C.J. Stroud, one of them. Jaden Daniels, one of them. But I think we are getting ready for a new quarterback out of the draft. Whether that be Cam Ward, I really like Cam Ward. Whether that be Garrett Nussmeier, where I know he had some very unbecoming interceptions last Saturday. Or whether that becomes...
Which, by the way, every quarterback in college...
That's true.
...has that. Patrick Mahomes had more of those than just about anybody.
You're right. And whether that becomes Shedeur Sanders, which, find out why I think that if the Browns honed in on him, I think he would absolutely come to Cleveland. And I'll tell you why that in the podcast at 92.3thefan.com and the free Odyssey app. It's the emerging podcast scene. Go ahead. I laid out my reasons for it. You can believe it or disbelieve it. But I do think it makes us a little bit worried because I think we pay attention to the bus more than we pay attention to the success stories, especially in Cleveland, where we have a quarterback list 40 names long. And we're still looking for quarterbacks. And I don't believe that Deshaun Watson will start another game for the Cleveland Browns again, at least by their choice. I don't think that that's going to happen. And I think they're going to go looking for a quarterback that's going to excite this fan base as best they can, put some hope back in this fan base as best they can, so they can sell some tickets. Because it is an entertainment business. And they want to put their hopes and dreams in a quarterback because I believe that Jimmy Haslam is obsessed with finding a quarterback, just like a lot of owners in this league. And until he finds one, he is not going to rest. And he will write whatever he needs to write and do whatever he needs to do to get said quarterback.
Well, this is why the Jameis part of this is so interesting, trying to figure out if he could reasonably be the QB going forward.
Exactly.
Here's why it's interesting. The big swings of late, when you really think about it. Okay, Baker Mayfield, they took him number one overall. When Baker doesn't work out, they go and get the, in modern day NFL history, when is a guy as good, and I know now you're rolling your eyes, when is a guy as good as Deshaun Watson been available? So they went and got the number one free agent quarterback, the once in a lifetime situation. They went and got him. So what's the next big swing? Well, it wouldn't be a big swing at all. It would be going after a guy who'd been relegated to be basically a backup quarterback by the age of 30.
Yeah.
And might go on a run now. Is that the next, is that what Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski would be talking ownership into if they still have their jobs after this year?
On which guys again are you talking about again?
Well, just going with somebody who I think most people around the league were like, Jameis is not going to really be a starting quarterback anymore.
Well, it depends
unless
on
there's injuries.
It depends on what he does the rest of this year. Because I have to look at it and go, well, okay, Kevin's good with quarterbacks. Ken Dorsey's believed to be good with quarterbacks, but I think that jury is still out. I think that Kevin has been good with quarterbacks that fit his system and have done well with him throughout that time. Again, I've made the joke several times with you. Okay, apparently he's the only NFL head coach who's needed a bad quarterback to win football games. So he has Jameis Winston. You know, he's younger than Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is going to be 33 coming up this season, this spring, which I don't think anybody believes that, because you're not paying attention to Aaron Judge as much. Jameis is only 30. He's going to be 31 next year. You have Sam Darnold, who's a veteran, doing pretty nice. You have other guys who have been veterans, turned into players, and have been nice players. Baker Mayfield has turned into a veteran and has done a fine job for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and puts them in a position to go to the playoffs and will probably put them in a position to go to the playoffs again this year. They're 4-4. Can Jameis be that guy for us? And are you willing to be open to Jameis being that guy for us? Or does it have to be a drafted quarterback? Or does a guy, don't know how anybody can make this argument, Does it have to be Deshaun Watson? The only way I could see you having this argument is you're just saying, well, the Browns are going to go and make him play because of that contract. It's just going to happen. You guys need to understand that. That's the only way I can understand anybody making that argument. But from what we've seen, he's a basket case. He's often injured. No. I think he's done. So should Jameis Winston get the chance to be the long-term starter this year?
I want to ask the fans because he will get the chance if he plays well. The question is, how well does he need to play for the fans to be excited about the next season? That's the question to me. Because, you know, if it's 30 and 30, famous Jameis 30 for 30.
Yeah.
That's exciting to watch. That's also no chance to really go far as an NFL football team, right? Do we agree on that? Does anybody disagree?
How far are you talking?
Like, that's what I'm saying is you're not going to be expected to win any playoff games. You might make the playoffs because seven teams make it.
I think you could win a wild card game or something like that.
Okay. Well, I just put it in terms of what I saw last year with Joe Flacco, goes on an amazing run, throws two pick sixes, and nobody won. I mean, not a lot of people did not want him. They're like, okay, that was nice. Never again. It wasn't until they saw Deshaun Watson and how bad he was where they were like, maybe we should have thought about having Joe Flacco back. But I remember the conversations after he, quote, turned into a pumpkin. Well, Jameis, that's his whole career is that. His whole career, like, he doesn't have the Joe Flacco Super Bowl run. Jameis Winston's whole career is first half against Houston, second half against Houston. Or magical month of December and January, and then the Houston game. That's his whole career. So how good would he have to be the rest of the way? How different would he have to look for fans to be really pumped up going into next season?
He would have to look really good. He would have to look. By the way, can I put this out there about Joe Flacco too? I don't think the Browns are special in terms of the way NFL teams think. I think a lot of teams saw fans' reactions about Joe Flacco and went, nope, not going to be messing around with our quarterback. That ain't going to happen. I think they feel the exact same way. I don't think every team feels that way. Clearly, Indianapolis, they'll look for anybody who's good. But I think a lot of teams who thought Joe Flacco was good, their owners were like, they're buying Joe Flacco jerseys. They're doing wacko for Flacco chance.
You're not
making
doing
songs
that
or playing on the radio over there.
You're not doing that to your other quarterback who's supposed to be the
guy.
You ain't going to do that.
You want your backup to be good. You don't want him to be that good if you've made that type of investment in your starting quarterback.
So how does this apply with Jameis Winston?
Fans don't want to believe that.
So how does that apply with Jameis?
It's perfect.
Was he not that good? When they brought him in to be the backup?
It's perfect now. Maybe that's the truth. Maybe they thought he wasn't going to be that good. It's perfect now. The other guy got hurt. Again, I don't think that anybody sees a realistic way other than just stubbornness that he would play and start for the Cleveland Browns again. And again, this is where you can make him the starter. Is Deshaun going to be his backup? I'm not necessarily sure about that. That's a different being to it. But you're going, hey, if we can win some games, we're not going to finish that high in the draft anyway. If we don't finish that high in the draft, why do we need to give up a bunch of draft capital where there will be quirks with all three quarterbacks at the top of this draft? There will probably be a fourth one there. There'll be quirks with all of them. So why give up a bunch of draft capital for a quarterback when I got a guy who's a veteran here? He's been through the wars. He's been through the turmoil. He's been through the different offensive systems, and he's come out on the other end, and he's played well for our football team. That is something he needs to have the chance to be able to prove. Either prove it or say that, no, he's a backup. He's fun. That's it. It's crab legs. We're moving on. You could always do that.
What are you paying him, though?
I don't know.
If he has the
year. Can you afford
if he has the year that you guys are alluding to that would make him return here, right? And I'm just looking at the recents, right? Geno's a comparison, and Baker's a comparison. Geno got 3 years, $75 million. Baker got 3 years, $100 million. You can't afford to do that and still have Watson's contract
on the
book.
You can't. You would have to make changes within the other players.
Right.
You can't keep two.
Can you? So is Jameis worth that? To make you're going to have to make drastic changes to your salaries.
You have two guards making over $10 million. That can't happen next year. So one of them is going to have to either retire or one of them is going to be let go. Then you look at your wide receiving core. Elijah Moore will come off the books. Jerry Judy is signed. Cedric Tillman will be on year three of his rookie deal. And I mean, that's a very...
Can you give Nick Chubb a new contract and bring back Jameis?
There's always a way to get something done.
I mean, I know you say that, but we're now at it.
You trading Greg Newsome this weekend?
I
It was definitely something Albert Breer brought up yesterday. He said Newsom. He said Za'Darius Smith.
You can make the argument you could still be a competitive team and trade Greg Newsom this weekend.
Of course, I don't know
if I want to argue that altogether, but yeah.
Of course you can. That's the thing about this is when we got into the huge argument on Monday, and I thought it came organically, and it was great to get the temperature of what everybody thinks about what this team truly can do this year. But I think some people missed the boat when they started talking about, well, my hard-earned money went to season tickets. I want to see the team compete. I want to see this. I want to see that. Trading Za'Darius Smith and trading Greg Newsom, like, that doesn't mean they're tanking next year. And I think people were taking it as that. That the teams in the NFL, the Browns do not need, first of all, they're not going to have Za'Darius Smith next year anyway. We didn't even know if they're going to have Jameis Winston next year. I think 2 weeks ago, we probably assumed, no, we won't have Jameis Winston here next year. Now we're like, oh, could he be the starter here next year? Think about how quickly that conversation turned. We have seen so many teams in recent years. Look at Houston. They were supposed to be a doormat. The very next year, they're kicking our ass in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Okay, Washington. That was one of the easy W's before the schedule came out this year. Right? Was it not?
Yeah.
They kicked our ass. They've turned it around. The Bears seem to have turned it around pretty quickly. This league, it can be done pretty quickly. So trading guys this year does not mean that the Browns are going to go 0-16 and 1-15 next year.
I think we go to the nuclear option because we've only gone back to the nuclear option where you tear the whole thing down to studs. You had an 8-year rebuild for that. You wasted literally 3 of those years, at least 3 of those seasons. I think that they look around the league. They have to look around the league and go, wait, hold on. They traded away big-name players in Washington last year. Now, they got a second overall pick as their quarterback, but they're looking a lot better than what they were last year. There's other teams that have been able to separate themselves from big names and have been competitive. They did not have to tear everything right down to where the Browns tore it down in 2016.
But big names and cornerstones are two different things, and a guy like Myles Garrett is a cornerstone.
Myles is a cornerstone. Right? Greg is a big name.
Do you have an offensive cornerstone right now?
How on earth is Florida State 1-7 this year? How do you go from 13-1 last year, where you were 13-0 and then you lost to Georgia 63-3? How do you go from that to 1-7? Could you fire his ass over 1-7? Over 1-whatever?
Yeah, of course.
Holy Toledo.
I was just saying, it's amazing
so
looking at their year by year. I've never seen what I would consider to be, maybe it's because of my youth, But Florida State, the uniforms, the big names, how awesome it was to watch them on TV, the amazing moments, so much theater, always in the news. I've never seen a program like that I would consider iconic to have the highs and the lows that they have.
I have a signed mini helmet from Gene Deckerhoff, who I loved as their play-by-play voice for years and years. I've always had a soft spot for Florida State.
Florida State was Duke. They were the Yankees. They were all of that.
Yeah. My dad liked Florida State.
Think about Ohio State's down years, the Fickell year, right?
Yeah.
And the other years that are considered down, Tressel had that one stretch where they got drilled by Iowa, and I think he had a 5-loss season. That was his rock bottom. Urban Meyer's down year was when he would slip up and then in the regular season to like a Purdue or Iowa and then lost to Michigan State in the Big Ten championship. But then they roll in the bowl game.
They played. I remember I was getting into college football when I was little. I knew about Ohio State years and years. I remember they played like Kansas. And the game was televised. My dad's like, sit down and watch Florida State. They're amazing. Like my dad liked Florida State a little bit. And because he loves Florida, and I ended up watching, I was like, man, I kind of like Florida State. Florida State's kind of cool. Always had that soft spot. 1-7. I look at their record right now. And I'll finish it up with this: North Carolina at Notre Dame, Charleston Southern, Florida. They're looking at 2-10.
Oof.
But that is just awful. That is just atrocious.
And meanwhile, Deion Sanders.
Yeah,
how's he doing right now?
Yeah, they're looking at 10-2, I think. They got a real chance at it, and that is going to be a conversation again down in Tallahassee because I might be eating some words there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Where again did Deion Sanders go to college?
I went to Florida State.
Where did he play football at?
He played football at Florida State for the Seminoles.
That's interesting.
Both ways.
Does he have any other sons that are good?
He's got two sons, and then he's got another son that gets into it with people on the internet.
I know. It's amazing.
Moving on there, bud. Anyway, the Browns, should Jameis Winston, a Florida State quarterback, by the way, should he, nice tie-in, should
he get... We're going to do a segment on Charlie Ward and great two-sport athletes later in the show.
If Charlie Ward would have been playing now, he would have been the first overall
pick.
Yes,
I said
that. You said that, too, and you are right about that. Back if he was born 20 years later, what could have been? Probably about 25. Charlie Ward's probably older than we think. Should Jameis Winston get the chance to be the long-term starter? I say absolutely get a chance. Because they're going to keep winning games.
Yeah,
if they keep winning games, then that means they're going to be lower. I don't know if they're going to go to the playoffs, but they're going to be lower.
They can make a threat. They can make it a threat. If they go on the run, you know, they win this week, they got the bye, then they beat the Saints, they split with Pittsburgh of those two games, probably got to beat Denver, and to keep them in the hunt, right? Because you lose to Denver, that's really tough. Like, we're doing a schedule game out of nowhere right now. But if he is, again, elevating the wide receivers, I know that was a debate yesterday on the afternoon show, but if all of a sudden you're evaluating players differently because of Jameis, he will be given the chance. Absolutely. What I wonder is, how will you feel about that going into the year if Jameis Winston is your surefire starting quarterback to start a season? Because I think most around the league would think you have a definitive ceiling.
Yes. You would also believe, though, that, again, do you want to give up a bunch of draft picks? What was the record again, as you just said it? What would their final record be at the end of this year?
If they go on a run like that, maybe they, God, if everything goes their way, 9-8?
So you're saying if they were a wild card team? So if they were a wild card team,
9-8 would be right on the fringes.
Then forget any of the top quarterbacks, because they're definitely going to be overdrafted no matter what they are, because they're quarterbacks, right? So you're gonna say goodbye to that. Like, yeah, you have to have Jameis then next year. I can't go through all this again. The only thing I think might be different is that if Jameis were the starter and he were to struggle next season, if Deshaun was the backup, then they would want to put Deshaun in. And I think a lot of people would go, all right, well, that's the end of 2025 here. Because I don't think a lot of people would have any faith whatsoever in Deshaun Watson walking back on the field again for the Cleveland Browns. So that might take a little bit from it. At some point, you're going to have to pay the fiddler and you're going to have to go after a quarterback again high in the draft. But will you be able to put that off?
Yeah, 9-8 would have them. Winston? 9-8 would have them picking where?
Probably mid round,
15-18.
Yeah, somewhere in there, right before the playoff team start.
Like Bo Nix went
maybe 20.
Yeah, no. Bo Nix went 12.
Not interested. No.
I'm trying to look. I know, obviously, quarterbacks have been taken.
Do you think Bo Nix is a long-term?
Kenny Pickett was 20.
Absolutely not. I mean, you're naming
Mac
some.
Mac Jones was 15.
Nope. No.
Fields was 11.
Mm-mm. I like Justin Fields, but I've given up that battle. No.
Haskins was 15.
God bless him.
Yeah. Boy, it's really interesting. There really haven't been a lot of good ones in that range. They're either overdrafted and they become busts, or they fall, they slip, they go to a good situation. Yeah, then they go to a good situation, like a good team that's normally fairly stable, although you'd say the Browns are actually stable if it's Stefanski and Barry.
But the good ones have to, if they're still there at 10, everybody jumps, right? Like, everybody jumps up, so you got to make a move then.
Well, if they go 9-8, ain't no one losing their job then.
No.
If you were to lose two games down the stretch, ain't no one losing their job.
Well, it's got to be the right two.
Unless you really want a quarterback and you just don't believe that he should be involved in drafting whatsoever.
You gotta
but
go
they're
back,
holding on to him.
Yeah, go back 2014 and Manziel goes 22 and Bridgewater goes.
I think he would have been probably a middle of the road quarterback when it's all said and done. But the injury, we don't know what we would get out of that. Tony and Chagrin, you're next up on the Fan.
Morning, guys. Great show this morning.
Thank you.
EJ Manuel, 16.
Oh, jeez. That was a tough one.
Boy, these kind of tell you it's never a good idea to get them there.
Yeah, go ahead. True. Goodness gracious. Tony, go ahead.
So, listen, Deshaun Watson's done, okay? He's done in Cleveland. His career here is over. Maybe he's a backup somewhere else. I don't care. I'm done with him. Jameis Winston, you got to ride him out this year, okay? Got to see what you got in him. If you got something good, keep rolling with him next year. And then I've got a proposal for you guys. Drew Aller. Let's go get him. Hometown kid.
Who?
Big guy. Big arm. Let's go.
Who do you want?
Drew Aller.
You said his name? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say his name.
Yeah, Drew Aller.
Tony, damn it, I made the biggest fuss ever for Mitch. And Mitch, he made a lot of money in the NFL. Yeah. Mitch, who did I get a mix?
Spinell.
Okay, Mitch Spinell. I might have made a bigger deal about Mitch Trubisky than I would my own son. And he comes from good stock, and he made a lot of money in the NFL, God bless him, but obviously he wasn't what the Bears or anybody really wanted him to be. Because of that, I am nervous about Drew Aller. Also, it took a little bit of time to come to fruition, which you still get these weirdo college football fans that say he sucks. I don't agree with them
right
whatsoever.
Now,
I think he's in a tough offense to deal with.
I'm seeing
he's
mostly
only 20 years old.
He is. He's only a pup.
Opponents.
I'm seeing mostly end of day two for Drew right now.
What if he stays another year?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to have a quarterback stay for 4 years now? Or
did you see Baker? Do you remember Baker and how he got elevated?
Yeah. I'm just pointing out, if you can just stay another year, Tony, thank you very much for the call. If you could just stay another year, that might give him a little bit even more seasoning before he just turns into Sean Clifford for everybody out there. Like, it's such a bad thing to stay in college for 4 years instead of going to the NFL and possibly being taken by some team that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground and ruining your career. Like, Mitch had to come out when Mitch came out. His stock was never going to be any higher. He ended up getting taken by the Bears. I mean, that's the equivalent of... I wish you could make the comparison that I'm thinking of right now to your own career. Lively and Elyria. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think we're talking too much about next year. I think we need to stop talking about next year's draft and just play this year out one game at a time.
Well, I've never heard anybody say one game at a time. This is new stuff here.
Nah, it's still football anyway. You slice it.
Now, what about now? Can they win any given Sunday?
Yes, I've got them picked to win this week.
Okay, now
they're against them the last 2 weeks.
Let me ask you this, Lively: are the Browns just trying to go 1-0 this week?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
one game at a time.
Step between those white lines.
Run that ball.
Yep. At the end of the day, you got to make sure of it. Lively, thank you very much for the call.
You got to keep the main thing the main thing.
Absolutely. Josh in Cleveland, hello.
Hey, I was excited on Sunday, too. Here's the whole thing. The next 2 years, Deshaun is owed $76 million and $78 million. And somehow next year, I heard Schefter on McAfee show, it's $100.8 million cap hit.
What's that got to do with me?
We can't afford James if he is good. Any veteran quarterback that's decent, you're looking at like 20. Per year, right?
At least,
And our good players in two more years are going to be that much older, that much more brittle. It sucks to say, and I want him to retire a Brown, but I would trade Garrett if you can get a one or a one and a two. I would talk to Denzel, hey, you got six concussions. Are you going to retire next year? We'll trade you to a playoff contender this year. We're not going to the playoffs.
Well, not with that attitude. Not with that attitude, Josh.
No, listen. Chubb, there's a rumor about him retiring. I'd go to Nick and say, look, you're retiring a Brown. But if you only have this year left, we'll trade you to a contender. But obviously retire a Brown. I would trade any piece that we have. We are not good at anything.
We're not good at anything? We're good on defense. We weren't good on defense on Sunday.
We had a decent game. I was happy. I was excited. The interception probably would have been picked nine times.
Josh, they've been pretty good on defense throughout most of this year already, except for the Dallas game.
They haven't been good on – no, we have not.
When?
What are you talking about?
When weren't they good on defense?
We got ran through by the Giants, all right? Even last year when we were ranked high, we still got sliced up many times.
They gave up 21 points against the Giants. Like, sometimes you're going to give up some points.
We are in salary cap hell. I know you say it's make-believe, but the next 2 years it's not. We're going to lose players. We're going to get even worse. We got to just get, and I don't even want no quarterback in this coming year's draft. I mean, maybe.
Oh, so we got a kid. So you want to sell off all these assets, and then we just want to wait on a quarterback?
I want Arch big.
Oh God in heaven! So I got to sit here and wait another year. I got to sit here and wait another year. And by the way, everybody who's telling me that Shedeur Sanders ain't going to come to Cleveland, wait until you get a load of the Manning family. They'll make their own decision. Remember, Peyton also made this decision too.
Wait another year. So what? You're happy with 3-14 next year?
I have to say, whoa! You should be very happy with 3-14 next year because that would put you in a prime position to take Arch Manning.
No, you're saying
you can't talk out of both sides here, Josh.
You're going to have another bad year. We're going to have a couple bad years. We are in a weird spot right now because of Deshaun. We have players that are getting older: Petonio, Garrett, Denzel. we have, and we don't have many good players. They're good on paper and their previous teams.
So I need to fart away the rest of this year and next year just for the chance to maybe have Arch Manning say yes to us, even though that his family is famous for this type of thing.
If you can get him in the second round this year, I would take it. I mean, he's big, he's fast.
Oh, so we're going to go back down the second-round quarterback route, and we're not going to take a guy at the tippy-top of the draft, even in a not-so-great draft class.
Or just go 6-11, 7-10, miss the playoffs.
When you take guys, Josh, when you wait and take guys in the second round and things like that, and you're constantly waiting on the quarterback, the one quarterback that you think of, that's how you get to 6-11 and 5-10 in the Lima song. That's how you get to that. Do we still have that recorder, or was that from too long ago?
Well, might be time to different schedule.
Yeah.
You know, Taylor Swift re-recorded her old hits because she wasn't making money off them. Oh, so Lima's maybe version. It's time.
That's how you do that. Waiting for a guy to come to you at pick number 22. That's how you constantly do 3-13 and 4-12 and 6-11 and 5-10. Off and off and off again.
Brandon Whedon. I mean, Brady Quinn. Yeah. Johnny Manziel. No. That is exactly what happened.
5-11. 5-11. 4-12, 10-6. Oh, and then back to 4-12 and 6-10 and 4-12 and 5-11. 3-13, 5-11, 4-12.
That's unbelievable. 5-11.
Browns record every single year. No quarterback ever.
Yeah, Jameis is either your guy or you're drafting a guy at the top of the first round. I almost said something I had to dumb. I'm not messing around with other quarterbacks in second rounds and third rounds and things like that. Yeah, I know. Every now and then you get yourself a Kirk Cousins. Every time you've done it, you've got yourself name the quarterback over the last 20 years. Name him. I don't even want to do it because it's mean-spirited. Lewis and Shaker, yeah.
That was that last caller was ridiculous. Why would you want to do that? Is Arch Manning a short thing? Yeah, he comes from good stock, but is he a short thing? We don't know that.
He's a fine quarterback. I mean, I'm not going to besmirch him for that. I'm not going to go after that last caller for that. We all know he's a good quarterback, and he does come from good stock. That's true.
Yeah, but is he going to be a good quarterback in the NFL? And you want to lose for 2 years?
Well, hell, I don't know about that, Lewis.
Exactly. Everybody just sit tight. Sit tight and see what happens the next couple weeks. And then, everybody just relax. Relax. Let's see. We're going to win Sunday, I guarantee you. Just sit tight. That's all I got to say.
How do you know we're going
to
win
Sunday?
How
are they underdogs this week? Can you explain that one to us, Lewis? The handicapper of handicappers.
Yeah.
I took the Browns last week, and I won money on them.
We are at home and two-point dogs with the Jameis Renaissance going on as we speak.
I'll take the Browns. I'm telling you, we're going to win. Everybody just relax. They didn't look too bad. They look good last week. Just everybody relax.
We went from Peter in Perrysburg yesterday saying that the decade of football is over. We're not going to be competitive until 2030 to Lewis and Shaker this week, guaranteeing a victory on Sunday and sounding like there's going to be no problem whatsoever. What a season this is turning into.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys. This comes to us from yesterday's Baskin and Phelps.
Sorry, Mitch. We're cutting you off. This is called sabotage. It's time to air check, young Mitch.
This is called sabotage.
It's time to air check, young Mitch.
I've been waiting for this.
Our own Mitch, had the opportunity to interview AEW World Champion Jon Moxley on Monday. He did a little pre-tape.
The Mox.
Mitch, has a dream of one day being the biggest name in Cleveland sports radio. So I'm going to take YouTube veteran Cleveland talk show host and give you a chance to hear Mitch's conversation with Mox. Give it a little air check.
Here on 92.3 The Fan, this is Mitch Spinnell sitting down for an exclusive here as we are ahead of AEW Dynamite's Fright Night.
You use the term exclusive, yet Moxley did, I think, 725 interviews that day. He was going through the car wash. So what made it an exclusive?
I figured since we didn't have it on our usual show, we were doing a recording, I figured I'd just call it that. But I guess that wasn't the right move.
Boom.
Off you go.
Okay, here we go.
It's coming Wednesday at the Wohlstein Center. It is now time to bring in a four-time AEW World Champion and the reigning World Champion at that, Jon Moxley. Jon, thank you so much for joining us today, man.
You're welcome.
Pleasure.
You sounded very NPR at the beginning of that.
You did. You did. I was wondering if it was, the tiny desk setting? I thought he was going to break out in song and music. Was that just the way that you refer? I've never heard you call us, hey, what's up, man? Or in talking to us in any way, shape, or form in a conversation, drop man in there.
Never even crossed my mind before, but I'll make sure to keep it in mind.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. Now, John, it's going to be an exciting week here in Cleveland. I know that you are a native of Cincinnati, Ohio, actually residing down there. I mean, when you've gone through your experiences here in Cleveland compared to living in Cincinnati, I mean, what's your kind of take between the two areas, man? Because we kind of have
another man, pause. Now, why are you using man
as a crutch right now?
I didn't realize.
How did you go from Steve Inskeep to man?
It's okay, Mitch. We've all had our crutches, without a doubt. We still have them. I'll be interested to see if that crutch continues on, if it evolves into a new crutch, or you're able to defeat this particular crutch, man.
Off you go.
Gone through your experiences here in Cleveland compared to living in Cincinnati, I mean, what's your kind of take between the two areas, man? Because we kind of have a little bit of a friendly rivalry here to say here between the two sides.
Again?
Well, you know,
that was the same one.
It's the old man.
Oh. Not the new man.
When it comes to matters of football and things like that, or if you're into.
So what I like about Mitch
is that
Mitch does a great job of keeping the energy at such a level that it can be matched by the interview subject, and that you can harness that. And so now, bleeding through the radio speakers, I think in everyone's car, it's like, we know that there is so much energy abound right now. I hope they don't overdo it with the energy.
Sure, there's some kind of college rivalry or something like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're all residents of Buckeye State, right?
And no doubt, we have John Moxley here on the
fan. It's a no doubter.
Well, it's a no diggity.
No diggity.
Why didn't you drop
a no diggity in there? Get on his level.
Yeah, come on, Mitch.
All right, so clearly the Mox is pumped up to be doing this interview. And boy, around every turn, who knows where this interview could go?
Well, let's flash forward a little bit to Mox gave like a 4-minute answer at one point. So Mitch tries to get him back on track and focused on the show that's at the Wallstein Center tonight.
We got John Moxley here joining us ahead of AEW Dynamite Fright Night on Wednesday at the Wallstein Center. I mean, John, you go into a matchup here. A lot of talk has been going on between the likes of you and a guy like Orange Cassidy. Is there a potential for a tease of a potential matchup between you guys coming up here?
You have never heard of Orange Cassidy, have you?
I'm aware of who he is, yes.
Okay. Let's hear more of Bill Curtis and John Moxley here.
Of a potential matchup between you guys coming up here.
Well.
Yeah, gloves have come off.
For a match with myself and a guy like Orange Cassidy. Anytime, any place, any day of the week.
What is he doing?
There is no love lost between these two individuals.
Well, now, that wasn't Mitch's fault. That was not Mitch's fault.
I can't wait to see these two.
I want to know, Mitch, where did the question about Orange Cassidy come from? Because I don't know if they've been fighting each other recently.
Oh, they're not wrestling each other tonight?
He's just trying to, Mox is trying to get through. Now,
Orange Cassidy's got to keep his hands in his pockets.
In Mitch's defense, had that been on the air with you two guys, that might have been a 2-minute conversation. And then go see Mox over at the Wallstein tonight.
That's exactly how that would have been. You are not wrong about that.
I've sat through enough of those. It gave me Paul Biancardi vibes.
How long did he?
How long was it? Yeah.
You can't laugh at that.
It was 10-something minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Whoa, you got 10 minutes out of that?
I guess so.
And Mitch was there on time. Mox was not.
I wasn't that long. It wasn't that long of a wait.
Okay. Do you want to post that somewhere?
Oh, he's got to post it.
Yeah, in the trash.
Mitch is saying no.
We'll post a segment at the 9:40 for Mitch.
Are you sure?
Mitch, please.
Oh,
sure.
So just this,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do want. Yeah. I want everyone to hear because one day Mitch will be the afternoon drive host.
Yeah,
one
station. Yeah, I'm not blaming Mitch.
I want people to go back and hear.
Well, that part.
And it's not your first interview, right? Like, you've done other interviews.
No, he sounds nervous. He sounds nervous.
It was my first time with a professional wrestler. I'll give you that.
We set up a host here once with a former professional wrestler, and then that host was very upset with us. You remember that?
No. Oh,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. That was an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
That was terrific. Somebody's got the audio of it.
He turned this bit into John Candy from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. We're like, hey, it's just a gag, man. Relax.
Mitch, here's what I like. I like that you you did the interview. I thought you were going to refuse. So that's one of the golden rules of the industry. Never say no. So you did it. You probably knew.
I should feel bad for Mitch.
There was a chance we would air check it. Wasn't your fault that he didn't match your energy level. And here's what I like to see. I like to see growth with our young pupils. So next interview opportunity, would you say yes again, knowing we might air check it?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Compare,
that's the right
contrast,
attitude.
Cleveland and Cincinnati is incredible.
Hey, they're two different cities. I want to know the what's the good and the bad. I think that's a great
and
way
the
to
ugly.
Launch. And you didn't even mention the Covington boys, though, which you know, Kent would have been
how
all
did
over.
You not say maybe John Moxley was one of the guys who threw their shoe at the car? You don't know.
It was not on the question docket.
Are you think you're going to get a chance to interview him again? Sounds like you two are fast friends.
Hopefully.
Mitch, I'm proud of you. I don't care what anyone
I can't
else
believe
says.
You took I'm that 10 minutes. I'm proud of you, too. Well done.
Thank you.
The great Mitch Spinell, everybody. Outstanding.